Good morning, everyone. If you haven't met me, my name's Paul, not to be confused with the Apostle Paul, please. But this morning, we're continuing our series in 1 Corinthians, and we'll be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a passage about agape love, the kind of love that God has for us, the kind of love that we are called to have for others. I've titled this message, What is Love? What is love? Because I feel there are differing ideas and ideals about what love is and what love isn't. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Four Loves, wrote, "To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken." Pat Benatar, 80s rocker, sang, "Love is a battlefield." Alfred Tennyson, poet, wrote, "'Tis better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all." DC Talk, in their song, Love is a Verb, had this to say, simple and plain, oh, L-O-V-E, ain't all that junk that you see on TV. Put soaps on a rope because they ain't worth coping with, and the truth is there ain't no hope, and love is enough if it's unconditionally given. Now you're living out the Great Commission. I actually blew that a bit. No. It's a myth that there's not no hope. Anyway, there goes my rap career. Anyway, these are just a few ideas about love. You might agree with some, and you might disagree with others. Now, let's hear some things that God has to say about love. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Please stand if you are able. And we have Bibles at the back. You're welcome to borrow one. And you're also welcome to take one home, give one away to a friend. So we're reading this morning 1 Corinthians 13. And we'll actually start with the last phrase from chapter 12. "And yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. We're going to dig into this passage, examining the comparison with love, the challenge to love, and the comfort of love. The Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote 1 Corinthians in the Greek language. And to clarify, and you may already know this, there are actually different words in the Greek language for different kinds of love. In English, we just have the one word. So what we mean by love can get confusing. Here, the Apostle Paul uses the word agape, agape. With this word, we're not referring to romantic love or sexual love. We're not talking about a love for books or knowledge. We don't even mean friendship when we look at this passage. We're talking about a radically different kind of love, a love that might be unfamiliar to some. Leon Morris, in his 1 Corinthians commentary, explains that the Greek word agape was not in common use before the New Testament, but Christians took it up and made it their characteristic word for love. Love as that quality we see in Jesus on the cross. Love from God, who is love. A love that sacrifices. A love that builds up. A love lavished on others without a thought of whether they're worthy or not. What place should this kind of love have in our lives? How persistent, how dedicated should we be to exemplifying this kind of love in all that we do? What do we read in the first three verses of this chapter? How does love fit in with tongues, prophecy, faith, generosity? If I speak in all manner of tongues, but don't have love, clang, clang, clang. If I have this, that, and the other gift, but no love, it's actually useless. It means nothing. Without love, none of these other things work properly. The passage is certainly not speaking against the gifts of the Spirit. That would make no sense. It's about how we use the gifts of the Spirit, the way in which we build up the body of Christ by practicing the gifts of the Spirit. And that's through love, the most excellent way. So continue to discover and practice the gifts that the Spirit gives to you. As Joseph has said, the right gift for the right time that leads to the most good in a given situation. Use your gifts to serve others. Be generous. Practice hospitality. Listen for a word of wisdom. Prophesy. Act in faith. But do all of this with love. In our house, we sometimes use a crock pot to cook. You throw in raw meat. I love the raw meat. Love the meat crock. Vegetables, some spices. You plug in the crock pot. You got to plug it in. And you let it cook all day. Mwah! Now, no illustration is perfect. I have a few doubts about this one. So if it helps you, great. If it doesn't, just let it go. But in this illustration, the raw meat, vegetables, and spices represent the gifts of the Spirit, and the plugged-in crock pot represents love. If this meal that I described were not cooked, it would make you sick if you ate it. But when it's cooked properly, it's tender, flavorful, a welcome meal for all. Cook your gifts with love. Starting in verse 4, the Apostle Paul describes what agape love is and what it isn't. It's patient, kind. It does not envy nor boast. It's not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking or easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. The description is iconic, overwhelming, utterly humbling. What more can be said to capture the beauty, the grandeur, the glory of agape love? Probably nothing. And I think that might be a good thing, because our task is not to describe or explain love, or to point out love's significant characteristics. It's not to have an intellectual understanding of love. Our task, our calling, our challenge is to live love. We are called to live love in the way we practice our spiritual gifts and the way we build up the body of Christ, but also in the way we participate in God's mission to the world, in the way we interact with all those around us. In each and every area of our lives, we are called to live love. I encourage you to go through each word in verses 4-7 and ask yourself, how can I live this? Or how can I avoid this? For example, how can I live patience? Who do I find myself getting annoyed with? And how can I turn this around and show love to that person? What about self-seeking? Where are the areas in my life where I hold on to things, where I refuse to submit to God's timing, plans, and purposes? Am I willing to ask for forgiveness, turn to God, and submit fully to Him? What about record of wrongs? Ouch, that's a hard one. Who's on my list? And am I willing to rip up that list through the action of forgiveness? What about protection? Who do I know that is suffering injustice or abuse, and how am I willing to help them? And what if it's me? What if I'm the one that needs protection? Will I ask others for help? Will I respond in love? Our challenge is to live a life of love. Gordon Fee, in his commentary, writes, "Love is not an idea for Paul, not even a motivating factor for behavior. It is behavior. To love is to act. Anything short of action is not love at all." But why is this a challenge? Well, for me, it's because I fall short. I don't act this way at all times, in every situation. And in some moments, I frankly struggle to come anywhere close. What will we do as we realize how often we fall short? I have a couple of thoughts. I think there's a human tendency when we can't attain something completely. We sometimes almost give up and stop trying at all. Or we think the goal's too high. Let's lower the bar. Let's make this easier. If you don't know, the coach of the NFL Pittsburgh Steelers is Mike Tomlin. Tomlin is well known for his motivational ways of speaking and for using memorable phrases, one of which is, "The standard is the standard." The standard, the expectation for football excellence doesn't change if you're not playing well. In fact, the way you play football needs to change in order to fit the standard. And the standard of love is the standard of love. The standard of love is explained in 1 Corinthians 13. Let's not lower the bar. However, we were never meant to live this most excellent way of love on our own, in our own strength. We live the way of love by the Spirit of God. When we accept Jesus as Lord of our life, the old way is gone, the new is here. We receive the Spirit of God. By the Spirit, we receive not only the gifts, but the power to practice these gifts in love, the power to live a life of love. We need God. We rely on the Spirit. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. The life of love is not about struggling on our own to somehow try to attain an unreachable standard, but rather being in step with and submission to the Spirit of God. As we walk with the Spirit, we will humbly and joyfully walk in the way of love. So we turn to the comfort of love. Although we live in this world that has trouble, confusion, uncertainty, we live our lives knowing that Jesus will return. After Jesus died on the cross, the expression of God's love for the world, an invitation for us to be in restored relationship with God, after Jesus died and rose again, he later ascended into heaven. We read in Acts chapter 2, verse 11, and angels are addressing the disciples. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. There is coming a time when we will see the risen Jesus face to face. God's glory will be fully revealed. Now we know in part. Then we will know fully, even as we are fully known." Here's a picture of a man in rough water. It doesn't look good. He's desperate. Hands stretched out for help, but he seems all alone. There's a great deal of suffering in the world, struggle, desperation. Many things happen that we just can't really understand. It can leave us questioning, feeling alone, perhaps even thinking, where is God in all of this? But we don't see the full picture. Here's the full picture of the man in the rough water. He's actually about to be rescued. He's about to be saved. Take comfort in the love of Jesus. Take comfort today in the incompleteness, the areas of partial understanding, and take comfort for the future, knowing that one day the risen Jesus will return. We will experience God's love in face-to-face communion. We will know fully. Take comfort, but also be prepared. I'll invite the music team back up now. God's love has been revealed to us in Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, John 14:6, Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's stand together. Let's pray together before we sing God So Loved. Father in heaven, thank you for your great love. Thank you for your word and revealing what love really is, what actions are involved. Thank you for your great love to us, for pouring it out. We do not deserve it, Lord. We're so thankful. We ask for unity. We ask for power in the Spirit, that we can use our gifts, that we can walk in the way of love. We ask for power to share this love of Jesus with the world. We pray these things in Jesus' name.